Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, Christy.
Hey, Will.
I don't often tell people this, but I'm going to say it to you. You're a vision in pink.
I
don't know what else to tell you.
Oh, my gosh.
You're a vision in pink.
Thank you.
Yeah. Some people can't pull off pink and they go, well, black works for everybody. Pink doesn't work for everybody.
But black works for you well because you're Batman. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because you're fat and we want to make sure that you don't look too big. So we cover you in black.
You are not fat.
It's very sweet, though, for you to not think that. But you are. No. You're vision in pink. That's all I have
to
say.
Thank you.
That's hashtag of the day. Yes.
Hashtag Christy's a vision in pink.
You know what it is? You pop. You pop, Christy. That's what it is.
One needs to pop.
I'm very excited for today's guest because we have a serious history with today's guest, don't we?
Yeah, Steve Loader. He is a huge animation director, and his titles include Kim Possible as of season two. He really saw so much of Kim Possible's like growth that we're going to chat with him all about. Just it's a reunion of sorts, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And the thing that's cool is, and you really brought this up, I'm so glad you did during the interview, about everyone's going to be like, but we had the director, you know, Lisa Schaefer came on. It's like, no, there's multiple directors that are involved in an animation project. And so I was really glad that you brought that up because there's a big difference. We did, Steve was a director and Lisa was a director, two completely different jobs, but really interesting and both amazingly necessary. So I was very excited to talk to Steve.
It's a cool episode.
It really is. So everybody, Steve Loader. Steve!
Hello.
Steve,
how are you?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
I was fine until my computer decided to not be good anymore.
Oh, man.
Computers are the worst. Terminator's a thing that could happen. I don't like any of it.
You don't trust it. He doesn't trust the
I don't.
Computers.
I don't. I've been watching Alone, and I think that's the way to go, the more I'm thinking about it.
Alone is that contest where you go out in the middle of the woods and try to live, right?
Yeah, by yourself.
We watched that.
Yeah,
we watched that.
Yeah.
Okay, good luck, Will.
My wife jokes that I would tap out on the boat ride there.
1,000%. 1,000%.
I think that's
if you haven't seen it, Steve, it is a really great show, but it's also, oh man, you get to root for people too. Like, who are you rooting for on Alone?
I'm rooting mostly for the animals. but that's just me. How are you, Steve?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Welcome to the show.
This is awesome. Yeah, I'm honored to be here. This is incredible.
We're so excited to have you here because we have quite a history. Can you remember the first time that we all worked together? Was it 2002?
Somewhere in that zone. Yeah.
So 20. So we're 20 years.
Oh yeah, definitely at least 20 years. Yeah.
We should probably introduce Steve, shouldn't we? I'm sorry. Should we introduce Steve? We are so happy to have Steve Loader here with us, who's a director and a producer of animation, of all types of animation, but really should be most known for Kim Possible, because that's where we know him from. So that's really the only world we need to talk about. But that's actually not true, because we're talking American Dragon, Jake Long, Brandy and Mr. Whiskers, the Tinkerbell film series, The Ghost and Molly McGee, Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, which is upcoming. That's upcoming, February 2023. We'll get into all of that kind of stuff. But let's be honest, Steve, it's Kim Possible. That's what we're talking about.
Kim Possible has been in my life not only during production but even past it, because I'm a comic book geek, I'm a film nerd, so I go to the conventions a lot. There is always a Kim cosplayer, always, yeah. And it's amazing because it's the legacy just continues. I mean, it really, people really love the show, and it's just a really wonderful feeling.
How did you get involved with it?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is I joined second season. And since then I've done 50 plus episodes of Kim. I think besides Mark and Bob, I think I've probably been on it the longest, and you guys. So yeah, it's been an amazing ride, but yeah, it was slightly intimidating kind of coming on board, because the reputation was already there. The fandom was already starting to build. So it was a little intimidating, but what a marvelous feeling to work on this amazing show.
Well, now, Steve, let's talk about like your exact job too, because we had Lisa Schaefer talk to us a lot in studio. And then what exactly is it that you then did for people to understand how you direct an animated show?
Yeah, so pretty much director of an animated show is kind of involved from the beginning. So we look at the scripts, we read the scripts that Mark and Bob and his writing team are putting out, Mark McCorkle and Bob Schooley, the creators of the show. And we get an early idea of kind of the visuals and the timing and the pace and some of the designs and some of the backgrounds. We start to figure out the visuals of it. And then as we're starting to figure that out, we usually attend the records that Lisa Schaefer is directing, which is where you guys are and doing an amazing job. And the thing that's great about going to the records is we're listening for peaks and valleys. Because when you animate a character, you really want to have a character that has these kind of like just kind of peaks in their voice and then it drops down. And because that's really kind of where we anchor our drawings to. That's really where the expressions change, or the head gets bigger, or the body arcs back, or the body reduces down. So we really look for kind of those highs and lows in the voice, because we really like latch onto them.
Okay. And Steve. So peaks and valleys. Will has talked about the fact that by season 4, I guess, Ron was so peaky.
Yeah.
Did that change?
Not a lot of valleys.
Honestly, it was great, because when you have a voice that's kind of that peaked or that kinetic, you animate to that. And Ron kind of got, if you look as the scenes went on, he got a little more animated physical, which was great because it provided great contrast for Kim, who is very collected and calm. So it was a really great visual, you know, to animate to, actually.
Yeah, I think that Ron did get more and more like A storylines as we progress. And he became much more active during missions.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's in season 3, I think, is really where it started to kind of pop, because in season 2, there was a couple of moments where trying to bring him into the missions, but it was always a failure. But it felt like in season 3 with Exchange and the Monkey Fist powers, and it really started. And also by the end of season 3, we did So the Drama. So we had to get Ron leveled up to a place that it really felt like, okay, he could kind of hold his own in a situation.
Well, your first episode ever was a Ron episode. The first episode you did was the Ron Factor, right?
Ron Factor, that's right. Yeah, and that was an interesting episode, because that was them trying to find a new purpose for Ron. Which episode was this, guys?
What was the log line on this one?
Ron Stoppable's awesome. Film at 11.
And that was the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. group from Kim Possible, whose name I cannot remember at this particular moment.
I can't either, frankly.
They had interest in Ron, and so they were going to kind of enlist him for that. And what makes the Ron Factor so special? So that was kind of what the episode was about. The right, what makes Blonde so special is this partnership with Kim, honestly. So
right. Yeah. Well, of course. So wait, let me ask this, because we always, Christy, we always do this. We always jump in the middle and then we jump to the end and then we jump. When's the first time you remember hearing the words Kim Possible?
Okay, this is an interesting story. The genesis of Kim Possible actually started on an animated series called Clerks, the animated series, Kevin Smith's series. Here's why. It had the entire team on that show except for Mark and Bob. So pretty much every single person that worked on Kim Possible worked on that show. And Steve Silver, Chris Bailey, myself, Nick Phillippe, Andy Ice, everybody. And so we kind of formed the look of Kim, at least partially, on that show. So that when Kim Possible kind of was starting to kind of bubble to the surface and we kind of started to hear about it, it was kind of like almost transplanting that entire team onto Kim. So it was an unusual experience, because it was a type of thing where at that time at TVA, there was a lot of kind of kids in school kind of shows going on. And this one was kind of a spin on that. And also what was great about hearing about this initially is it was a female empowerment story, which is unusual. Because at that time, I think you had Buffy the Vampire Slayer and maybe Xena, but there wasn't a lot of strong female protagonists.
You had Powerpuff Girls. Powerpuff Girls was the animated.
Right. Yeah. So it was an exciting project to even hear about, to say, oh, this is really going to kind of move the needle. Mm-hmm.
So you're essentially saying that Kim and Ron were originally Jay and Silent Bob.
In a way. In a way, yeah. Yeah, it was a pretty seamless transition in a way, yeah.
You're definitely Jay then in that relationship.
I would imagine that was probably accurate. Funny.
That is so funny. When did Bob and Mark come in then?
Yeah, when did they kind of the whole team get put together for the first time?
Because I remember they said they pitched it in the elevator going up to Gary Marsh's office. They like were like,
they came up with it.
Possible. And
yeah, she can do anything. He's Ron Stoppable. Yeah. He can't.
I mean, it's a strike of lightning. I mean, that's what a moment, just a creative moment to just get that level of inspiration. Yeah. Yeah. And as animation goes through development process, it usually kind of sticks with the show creators and the writers just for a little bit of time. So as they start to write out kind of longer log lines of the characters and who the characters are and things like that. So there was probably a period of time spent of Mark and Bob just kind of isolated working on that. But then probably right as Clerks was ending and there was an opportunity to start to go into another production, it just looked like, well, here's a seasoned crew that's ready to just kind of jump into a show. And also it was great because a lot of the people had experience on different types of show other than Clerks. We had, you know, the kids stuff we were doing for Disney, but a lot of them had adult animated experience here and there. So it really just kind of made Kim Possible, kind of elevated the quality of the show.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's so interesting to me in retrospect, how many other shows almost pirated the look of that animation. So like after Kim Possible came out, there was these commercials for Esurance.
Yes.
And
I
was like, you've got to be kidding me.
It's just Kim Possible.
Pink hair. She's got a communicator. Like she's doing,
flipping in and out.
The direction of it was very clearly ripping off of Steve and Mark and Bob.
Well, it evolved. Those commercials even evolved, because we kind of, for a moment in season 3, we gave Kim the super suit.
Yeah.
That white suit with the glowing
with the blue stripes.
Blue bands.
Yeah.
And then I think they did that in the commercials too. They kind of evolved. I was like,
she did have a suit. Wow. I know. I was watching it fuming and I was like, nowadays, I think Disney would probably actually go after something like that for new
probably.
IP.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But I will say, what was it like using new technology directing with the robots that we had in the movie? Which movie was it that we had the robots?
Was it So the Drama?
So the Drama.
Robots. Yeah, that was the first time the studio had been introduced to CG, and it was kind of done out of necessity, because we knew that there was going to be armies of these characters, and it's really just at that time it was really hard to draw just the pencil mileage alone.
Yeah.
So we came up with the system of, okay, how are we going to do this? And it was a learning curve. Nowadays CG is super easy, you could do it at home, but then it was pretty tough.
Wow, interesting. So you laid the 2D animation that you guys were doing, and then you did it almost like there was a temp non-existent background so that you inlaid the CG robots. And at the time of doing that, it was very, I mean, because we're talking how
totally
many
years cutting
ago
edge.
Was that?
Yeah.
20, 10,
yeah.
15, 20 years ago.
20
wow.
years ago. Yeah.
Totally.
19, and then, I mean, like 1918, right?
Yeah.
And then we had to, we would call rotoscope. We had to kind of take the CG model because we had to put it then in our line. So it had to look like it was drawn so that it mixed with the characters. And I remember the crazy thing about that was you had the giant robots, and that's okay because they're big and they take up a lot of space on a frame. But there was moments where it was the tiny robot and Ron was holding the tiny robot. So it was like interaction of that, you know, scope. So that was... Yeah, that was tricky, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, it really felt like we were leveling up the show. I mean, So the Drama is easily my favorite Kim Possible project.
It was great. It was really good. Yeah.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. LifeLock monitors and alerts you to identity threats you may miss on your own, even if you're careful with your personal information. And if you do become the victim of tax-related identity fraud, LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists ready to help solve identity theft issues on your behalf. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Why wait for your tax refund in vain? Help protect your information immediately with LifeLock. Go to LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 25% your first year. That's 25% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Steve, as much as we go down memory lane, we also like to talk about just how talented you are and that you've continued to work with, you know, with Disney. And
well, wait, before we go forward, I want to go back farther. I want to go
going back.
Farther.
Oh my God. Okay, so we're going back. It's teaching time here.
Yeah, exactly. You said you know, you're a comic book nerd and everything. I'm a big nerd myself. So is animation something you always wanted to do? Or did you originally want to be a filmmaker? What were your plans when you got into this industry?
It was definitely cartoony. I mean, because the thing is, how I got into the business is there was a Disney artist drawing for kids at a shopping mall, like in New Jersey. And so me and my brother, who's also an artist, we went out, you know, to see this guy and we showed him our drawings. And he's like, yeah, these are great. Why don't you work for us? And it was I worked for Disney straight out of high school. It was for consumer products. I was doing drawings for
but you were found at a mall. You were found at a mall by somebody who works for Disney, and you started working right out of high school for Disney.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, day after high school. So day Jeez. After I graduated, boom, right into Disney. And
still back east, or did you move out here?
It was back east at that time. Yeah. Okay. So I was doing that. And then being back east, I had the opportunity. I did some work for Jim Henson, which was a lot of fun.
Non-Disney Jim Henson.
Non-Disney, right? Now Jim Henson and
everything's Disney.
Yeah.
So did some work for Jim Henson at the time. But the thing that kind of pulled me into animation is I saw the pilot for a show called Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Stimpy, let me tell you something.
Yeah, of course.
Like a lightning bolt. And I had to work on that. And so, I moved out to L.A. I didn't know anybody out here. Found the studio, found an apartment close by and got the gig. And
With your brother, you and your brother kind of split.
He came later. He actually does book illustrations for Disney. So oh, he's cool. More of an illustrator, great. And I'm more the animator guy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
So was this Nickelodeon, was it in Burbank at the time? Did you move to Burbank? Is that what you just did?
Yeah. It's actually, it's funny because they put Ren and Stimpy in a separate building. So Nickelodeon, you had all the fun stuff going on in Nickelodeon. And I guess they kind of knew. And they said, we're going to put Ren and Stimpy in a different building about 25 miles away.
Which won't be fun at all. You're in the warehouse.
Yeah, basically. Oh, but you know what? It was kind of good because it was a pretty rebellious crew. It was a pretty eccentric crew. So it was a fun experience. It was a challenging experience. Sure. It was my first gig and it was a challenging show. But you know, since then, my resume is all over the map. I've done some more adult stuff. I did a show called Duckman. I did preschool mm-hmm. stuff, Mickey Mouse Clubhouse a little bit. Yes, but honestly, it's Kim Possible that is always the one that people want to reminisce and talk about, which I'm more than happy to talk about. It's such an important part of my life.
Well, I'm looking at a picture goodness. Of all of us right now. We all look so young.
Oh, we're posting that on our Instagram.
So young together.
I have a shirt that's literally still out of print. It says, everyone loves an Italian girl. You look like you just went to a Rusted Root concert. Steve, you
Mark
look
and
the same.
Bob look exactly the same.
Y'all Steve look the same. Exactly the same.
I remember that picture. That's
I remember that record. Picture.
That was last record, I think.
And it was like, we never got to really see each other in person. So I do think if it was our last record, I think I remember it being like, this is sad that this is our last recording. And that this is that the only time shirt. I got to hang with Will.
Yeah, we didn't get to really hang out much.
No, I was in New York.
You were learning. You were at college learning stuff.
I guess, yeah. Jeez. It took me 12 years to finish. I should have just delayed it, I guess.
See, Steve and I are both smart. We went right from high school to work. We decided to go to school.
Steve. We just avoid paying bills.
Exactly.
So Steve, if Kim ever comes back, like if that ever happened, what would you want for Kim? Like who do
Ooh,
you think
good question.
Kim... Does Kim need to grow? Does she need to like be a different person? Does she need to be more modern?
Is she an adult? Is she a kid? Like, that's what I would, if we were going to bring her back, would you bring her back right where we started, where they're in high school still? Would they be in college? Would they be adults now? Like I'm curious where you'd go with it.
Well, it always, when we finished Kim in season four, I think we were all a little burnt out at that time. I mean, we've been working on the show for a long, long time, but we always felt that there was more stories to tell. And we always kind of hoped that we were going to pick it up after a short break or a short vacation. So it was always in the back of our minds. And I remember, you know, over years, you know, I'd run into Mark and Bob and we just kind of joke about, oh, maybe it would be this or maybe it would be this. And it just depended on the particular moment of this is the future for Kim and Ron. There was one thing that was interesting on, was it the Sitch in Time or maybe the So the Drama DVD release? I had to do some art where it was like you show Kim and Ron as they get older and younger and that kind of thing. And I did drawings for that. And the drawings that I did for adult Kim and Ron, I thought were the best drawings. And they decided not to use them, but they decided to use the old versions of Kim and Ron. And what was kind of sad about that is it was kind of a joke because we made Kim and she was like an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever that
That's
was.
What everyone says about that.
You know, but here's the thing, we did it so that, again, this was a joke, we did it so that she looked like Dr. Director, so she had the eye patch and she was seasoned.
Oh no,
and
Kim's losing
Ron
an eye,
was
guys
kind of overweight and stuff like that. And right. what was terrible about it was it only worked if you saw the adult versions of them, which were sleek and trim,
right.
And they were fit and they were fighters, and so the audience missed the good middle part, and then you saw that part, and man, they did not like it.
Wow, jumped right to it. Yeah, this is, well, I mean, this is also at the time what the internet was kind of in its infancy at the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We were learning.
Meme
we
culture
were,
was not really
no,
what it is
but
now.
Starting to get, you know, feedback and stuff like that was instantaneous was an entirely new thing. Okay, so now we can jump ahead to what you're working on now, because you're working on a bunch of different stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so we have The Ghost and Molly McGee, which is a really great show. It's currently on air. I got Ashley Birch and Dana Snyder doing the voices on that. They're incredible.
Wow.
Their chemistry is incredible. And then coming soon, coming on February 10th on Disney Channel and
coming up
thereafter, is Marvel's Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur. And this is an interesting project. This is the first collaboration between Marvel and Disney TV Animation.
That's awesome. That's kind of like with KP. KP was the first collaboration with Walt Disney Studios and Disney. Yep. So
I like being at the first of
heck
of
yeah, why not? Of course, of course.
And it's a great show. It follows the adventures of Lunella Lafayette, who is one of the smartest characters in the Marvel universe. She's a 13-year-old super genius. And she creates a portal which accidentally brings a giant red dinosaur into New York's Lower East Side. And of course, when you have a giant red dinosaur, you know, with you, you partner with him to fight crime on the streets of New York City. And
that's my daughters are going to love this show. Like, I cannot tell you how much my daughter's going to be obsessed. And I'm so happy to know that you're behind that. That makes me so happy.
It's a great show. And our cast is amazing. We have Diamond White, Libe Barrere, Fred Tatasciore
friend of the show. Yeah.
Amazing. And Lawrence Fishburne is a executive producer on the show.
And don't you have Holly Robinson, Pete and Andy Cohen? And I mean, there's a whole bunch, Method Man. Well, I mean, there's a whole bunch of people involved, right?
So yeah, you're so lucky. Like, I love seeing that you're still doing that thing with where we had with Kim Possible. We had so many amazing cameos. I think it's a lot of fun when you can drop people in, don't you, Steve?
It's totally, because you get a different flavor.
Yeah.
And what's great is sometimes when you bring in kind of new voices and stuff like that, it just kind of shakes everything up just a little bit. Everyone has to, you know, adjust to that new energy. And it really, because all we're looking for on the voice tracks is, of course, your brilliant performances that elevate the animation, that make our lives like, oh, we can really punch out drawings to this and really make this exciting and move the camera around, because everything is just so kinetic and popping with the
it's motivated.
So yeah, absolutely.
I see. So the motivation for you to create the actual animation sort of comes from the spirit, the energy of our performances. I never really realized that. Thank
100%.
You. 100%.
Oh,
that's
really cool.
That's where the vitality of animation comes from. I mean,
that's really cool.
The writing takes you to that place, but it's the performance that we get from the voice actors that turns it to life. And
we
start imagining what the animation looks like based off of that.
Is that why you guys put the video camera to watch us before you started animating the pilot? Yes,
totally. Oh, absolutely. And we would try to film as much as possible. And that's actually why, I mean, I couldn't come to every session, but I try to come to as many scenes as I can. Because we'd watch you, we'd see some of the expressions that you guys would make, and we kind of doodle it, you know, on our scripts to go, okay, I'll remember this for this, I'll remember this for that. Because yeah, we're looking at, you know, at your whole performance. It's not just your voice. It's like we're keying in on facial movements and body language and everything. Oh yeah.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a 1-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.
Christy and I are very yin yang in that she always seems to like to talk about the future, and I always seem to like to talk about the past. Who knows why? But when you were getting into this, not even as a kid, what were your favorite animated series growing up? Like, what couldn't miss? What was your couldn't miss animated show?
Ooh, wow. I got to admit, I was living in New York. So I think we had more exposure to interesting and unique and rare animation than we would have in a lot of other places. So there was kind of an early introduction to the works of Miyazaki. So it's
interesting.
Totoro.
Sure.
My girls love Totoro.
Film. Yeah, that was a big film for me. There was a film called Castle of Cagliostro, which is Lupin the Third. So it was kind of things like that. But of course, Tex Avery, the Tex Avery cartoons, and the Bugs Bunny stuff that was done by Bob Clampett and Chuck Jones.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of the early, because you had that stuff when you would come home from school. It would be on TV. They would rerun all of the Warner Brothers cartoons. The Disney stuff you had to kind of get on tape. There wasn't really an outlet to see the Disney stuff. But so there was a constant exposure to kind of the animation that was done in the 50s and 40s and 50s. And I think that also kind of found its way into Kim Possible. I think that the art sensibility, the styling, certainly the backgrounds and the
very much the backgrounds. The background, I mean, there's almost something, and this is it's a weird kind of correlation, but I always thought there was something almost Flintstones-esque about the background of Kim Possible.
I could see that. Oh, yeah.
It was very, very cool. And so were you also, you talk about Miyazaki, were you also like an Akira fan? Did you go through your Akira phase? And
yeah. All the classic anime, Akira, Ghost in the Shell, that stuff that just kind of showed up, you know, in New York was, we were all exchanging tapes. Because at that time it was like either poorly dubbed or poorly subtitled. So that was the only way.
Wow, that's so fascinating, because when you think about it with Disney, their IP is making their IP accessible to everyone was probably a lot harder to justify back then with the way that people were making their money. And now it's accessible to everyone because everything is streaming. So I can only think about how fast the learning curve will be for like a young version of you now, Steve. Like, who is the new Steve? Do you mentor like younger animators? How does that work?
I do. Yeah, we do that at the studio. We bring up a lot of people that are either just kind of coming into the industry, maybe they're interns and they're trying to figure stuff out. And so, yeah, I've done a number of mentoring projects over the past year in particular. Ultimately, you know, I'm going to retire at some point soon.
No.
Yet. Okay.
I want to be able to enjoy, you know, I'm going to sit back and watch TV. So
you get to enjoy nothing.
You look so dang young.
We have
Come on
stuff
now.
To do still, Steve. You get to enjoy nothing.
I want the next generation. I want to enjoy their work.
Of course.
I want to help as much as I can. Absolutely.
That's
we got to see you briefly at D23, but we got to meet your son. Does your son doodle?
My son Nico wants to be a voice actor.
Join our contest.
He's pretty great. I got him a spot on Moon Girl, so he had his first taste of voice acting.
Nice.
In the studio, which was great. But yeah, that's something he loves to do. He does a lot of the dubbing on anime right now. For friends and stuff like that. But he loves animation. I think it was part of the household. I mean, it was unavoidable in a way, I guess.
It's a great household to grow up in when you're growing up around animation.
You pick up a pen or a microphone, I guess, in your house.
I guess so. It's like one or the other. Or both. I mean, or both.
Yeah. I think that's awesome.
That's so cool.
Well, unfortunately, Steve, we have a hard out today, which stinks.
No worries.
But we were so excited to get a chance to talk to you. And again, everybody, don't forget, we've got Ghost and Molly McGee and Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, which both sounds so great. The Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur does sound like just the coolest idea in the world.
Fans of Kim Possible will enjoy the show. It feels like a nice companion piece in a way. So I'm excited for people to see it.
This is the coolest thing in the world. And we hope we're not done yet, Steve, with whatever happens in the future.
Anything is possible for a possible.
Yes, hey! That would be so cool. Now, can people, if they, which I'm sure they're going to want to follow your career and everything you're doing. Do you have any socials people can follow you on?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and Twitter. It's at Steve Loader on both of those. So yeah, check it out.
Oh, that's so cool.
We love you, Steve.
Love you guys too.
Thank you for joining us. Kim Possible would not have been Kim Possible without you involved and kind of helping to guide the ship. So,
well, I appreciate that. But honestly, you know, you guys did a lot of heavy lifting to make that show great. So appreciate all your work.
That's very sweet. You just made Christy blush. Look at that. You just made Christy blush. Thank you so much, Steve, for joining us. And everybody, please go watch all the new stuff and the older stuff, because it's all good. It really is. It's all good.
Anything that Steve is attached to is
good. It's good. So please come back too, because this conversation is not done yet. We have a lot left to talk about. I want to talk about the past. Christy wants to talk about the future, but we've got a lot left to talk about. So if you can come back again, we'd really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Oh, thank you so much, Steve. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Steve.
Oh, that was so cool. Yeah, I hate that we have to cut it short, but we have to cut it short.
What is he? He's going to a booking or something, right? He's a busy man.
He's a busy guy. And something happens. I think the room I'm in is destroyed in like 14 minutes.
Okay, got it.
Yeah,
your room is going to explode.
There's a countdown. Okay. There's a countdown.
Got it.
If we got it. But no, so yeah, everybody go check out Ghost of Molly McGee and Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, of course, is coming out February 10th. And that does sound like something that is going to be like your kids are going to love that. It's like 1,000, perfect for them, right?
1,000%. We're watching
that.
That sounds
awesome. So thank you everybody for joining us, and go check out Steve, all the stuff he's done. You will not be disappointed. He's a phenomenal artist and a wonderful director and producer. So go check out everything. And until then, don't forget, we're going to be doing our super awesome contest to become the next big voice actor. It is real, people. It is true. It is happening. And January 9th through February 9th, and you can submit all of your, it's going to be a video, can't be over 2 minutes.
I hear voices at iheartradio.com. But we really want to make sure that you guys know where to submit your 2 minute long sort of audition tapes for us. Don't just do it, guys. We love
you're
you
gonna
guys.
Have so much
we
fun.
Know you're listening out there. If you're listening to the podcast, don't be scared. We are here to help you and get you a really great opportunity. We know you're out there listening. We have great fans, and let's do this. Let's find somebody, right, Will?
Yeah, I agree. I can't wait. This is getting very exciting, so I can't wait. There's going to be some cool stuff in the future. So thank you everybody for joining us. Don't forget to enter the contest. Don't submit early, by the way. We're getting told from our producers, do not submit early. We have to wait until January 9th.
Yeah.
If you think you have what it takes to step up to the microphone, then put your voices where your mouth is. Thanks, everybody.
I Hear Voices is hosted by Will Friedle and Christy Carlson Romano. Executive produced by Will Friedle, Brendan Rooney, Amy Sugarman, and Vicky Ernst Chang. Our executive in charge of production is Danielle Romo. Our producer is Lorraine Virouez, and our editor/engineer is Brian Burton. And that was my announcer voice.
Some side effects of listening to I Hear Voices are sore abs from hilarity, falling down the Coco Melon rabbit hole, sneezing due to mass nostalgia, and hugs.
Follow I Hear Voices wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of the amazing voices.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I Hear Voices Podcast.
You can also check us out on MySpace, Omegle, Vine, LimeWire, AAM, and Napster.
Okay, well, let's teach you about the internet.
The who?
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Turns out a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.